Good evening and welcome to Jazz Unlimited. My name is Dennis Owsley, and tonight it's the Jazz History of St. Louis Part 8, the 1990s Rebuilding the Scene. The jazz studies programs at Webster University and SIU Edwardsville were firmly entrenched. A new label, Max Jazz, was started by Richard McDonald, and it's now a national jazz label. Barbara Rose opened Jazz at the Bistro, now one of the great jazz clubs in the world. We're going to hear music by the legendary drummer Joe Charles, Gene Kittrell, the Dixie Stompers, Asa Harris, Herb Drury, Carol Beth True, the Kim Portnoy Big Band, the Gateway City Big Band, Reggie and Mardra Thomas, Christine Hitt, Denise Times, and more. All of this will be coming your way on Jazz Unlimited, following NPR News. Stay tuned. Before we begin Part 8 of the Jazz History of St. Louis, we have to thank Jim Wallace, Gary Sykes, and Kevin Powell. The original Jazz History of St. Louis documentary was funded by a grant from the Missouri Arts Council and was copyright 1987 KWMU. I'm Dennis Owsley, and this week's installment of the Jazz History of St. Louis will be Part 8, and it will cover the 1990s, a period of the beginnings of a small renewal of the jazz scene. There were fits and starts to this renewal. In 1988, Frankie Richardson came up from Texas, and he got many black players under contract as the Lakeside All-Stars and put on two concerts. The first concert was somewhat successful, while the second was a financial disaster for both Richardson and the musicians. He put ads in the media and put up handbills in the black community for the first concert. The second concert received little or no publicity anywhere because Richardson could not make up his mind as to what to do, even though he had discussed his venture with professional publicists. Richardson quickly left town. Joanne Collins and her organization presented David Murray at Washington University, Bobby Watson, and a unique concert featuring solos and duets between Jay McShann and John Hicks at the Sheldon. Sun Ra also paid a visit to the Sheldon during the 90s. We're going to begin with a couple of things with David Parker, continuing from last week. Monk Sphere is with his Creative Forces Trio, and St. Louis Strut is with the Joe Charles Collective. In between these two pieces, we're going to have drummer Gary Sykes tell us a bit about his career and about the formation of Tracer with Pete Del Williams, who we heard on solo piano near the end of the show last week. Thank you.
very important because he taught me how to read and about chromatics and different technical things in music that I didn't know. I just had a natural ability and an ear to play different styles of music. And I always enjoyed doing it, but after I learned how to read, it made it even easier for me to understand when I knew exactly what time signature a particular song was, or, you know, whether they were playing whole notes, half notes, quarter notes, or whatever, you know. So it helped out considerably. Although I found that playing jazz, I have to use that very little. I use that knowledge very little because most of the guys just, you know, I guess they just think the drummer's supposed to just, you know, automatically fall in on something. They tell you whether straight ahead or in 3/4 or whatever, and you just listen. The best thing to do, I find, is to listen to the form, the entire form of the song, and then, you know, do your own interpretation of it. Peter and I, with Daryl's father, John, were together for about a year and a half, but we just have a like ESP. It's from the first time we played, which was back in, I think, 78 or 79 at BB's. Mark O'Shaughnessy was nice enough to give me a night down there. He told me, get who you want to get. So I said, well, I want to get Pete Todd Williams and Daryl Mixon. And we never rehearsed. That was like a shock to all three of us, because we just sit there and we start playing, and all of the breaks and everything, like, seems like we should have rehearsed this stuff, you know. And we're sitting there playing, I'm like, and I would tape, you know, all of the gigs. And I'd take cassettes home and just sit there listening to this stuff going, this sounds like we rehearsed this stuff for hours.
This is the Jazz History of St. Louis on Jazz Unlimited. I'm Dennis Owsley. Thanks for being with me. We heard a set of two, first Monk Sphere with the Creative Forces Trio in 1992. In that group was David Parker on piano, Eric Markovitz on bass, and Gary Sykes on drums. And then we heard Gary Sykes talking about his career in a group called Tracer that he had with Pete Williams and Daryl Mixon, which is never recorded, by the way. And then St. Louis Strut with the Joe Charles Collective. Joe Charles is one of the really legendary drummers in St. Louis. And this group was Sue Bashirs on trumpet, Jimmy Sherrod and David Stone on tenors, David Parker on piano, Eric Markovitz again on bass, and Joe Charles on drums. 13 Dixieland recordings were made with St. Louis musicians during the 1990s. We're only going to play two of them because there's an awful lot of other music that we need to get to. The first is Gene Kittrell's Jazz Incredibles doing Dardanella. The second one is a reunion of the Dixie Stompers, which was a band that played on the DeBolivar Strip around 1953. These records couldn't be found, and this one was recorded in 1993 in Chicago. The pianist is John Chapman, but he's not Albino Red Chapman. Here's the 1993 Dixie Stompers with Shine. Thank you. Listening to the Jazz History of St. Louis on Jazz Unlimited. This is part 8, the 1990s. We heard a set of two, Dardanella by the Jazz Incredibles in 1997, and that's Gene Kitrell on piano, Red Lair on tuba, and John Becker on banjo, and then Shine by the Dixie Stompers in 1993. Bill Mason cornet, Jim Hayslip trombone, Glenn Meyer clarinet, John Chapman piano, Artie Stoltz, banjo, Don Franz, tuba, and Wayne Jones, drums. Trumpeter pianist Lee Hyde put together a group that he calls his Gentle Jazz Group, and that appears to be really an extension of the Jazz Central group that he was in, and here they are in 1998 with Sonny Speaks. There'll be one more piece in this set, and that's by Carol Beth True. She founded her own trio with Eddie Randall Jr. on bass and Gary Dinkelkamp on drums in 1973. Carol Beth is one of the most in-demand classical and jazz piano teachers in St. Louis and is a long-term member of the Webster University music faculty. She was the rehearsal pianist and assistant music director with the St. Louis Muni Opera for 20 years. She's the first call pianist for many visiting jazz musicians, has her own trio and her group Two Times True. She works with Randall Holmes, the Trinity Jazz Ensemble, and is part of the cast of the education program, The Jazz Story, an overview of jazz history at the Sheldon Concert Hall. We will hear her work throughout the rest of the documentary, and here she is with her trio and a composition by Glenn Smith called ABC in 1994. That's coming your way following the station break.
Thank you.
I'm Dennis Owsley. You're listening to Jazz Unlimited's Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 8. We heard Sonny Speaks by the Lehigh Gentle Jazz Group, recorded in 1998. Lee's on piano and arranging, Randy Holmes on trumpet, Freddie Delgadio on alto, Tom Kennedy on bass, Kevin Giannino on drums, Bill Archer on reeds, Jim Owens and Brad Bobsick on trombones. And then we heard ABC by the Carol Beth Trio, with Carol Beth Trio on piano, Glenn Smith bass, and Alan Schilling on drums. And that's a 1994 recording. The renaissance of jazz really began when Barbara Rose, later known affectionately by the musicians as the Jazz Mom, found a room at the Hotel Majestic around 1990 and opened a listening room jazz club, Just Jazz, which was quite a success. When the Majestic was sold, Barbara moved her operation to the Bistro in Grand Center and took her organization, Jazz of the Bistro, to nonprofit status. And she ran the club until her death in 1999. Gene Dobbs Bradford became the executive director and moved the club to another level as one of the premier jazz clubs in the country, if not the world. We'll hear Gene next week talking about Jazz at the Bistro. Alto saxophonist Chad Evans had been working around St. Louis with various people and recorded a cassette in 1983. One of the pieces is called Blues with a Giblet Touch. And before that, we're going to hear Dubrovnik with Sandy Weltman on harmonica, Dave Black on guitar, and Carol Beth True on piano. And that's 1997. Thank you. This is Jazz Unlimited and the Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 8. I'm Dennis Owsley. We heard a set of two, Dubrovnik with the New World Harmonica Jazz Group with Sandy Weltman on harmonica, Dave Black guitar, and Carol Beth True on piano. And then blues with the Giblet Touch, Chad Evans with his group, Chad's on alto, with Danny Campbell on trumpet, Richard H. White Jr. piano, Richard Jess Brown on bass, and Gerald Warren on drums. Vocalist Joan Buiz was a very well-liked performer in St. Louis. She never recorded here, but here is her only recording in 1995 with J.D. Perrin and Spirit Stage with the poetry of Shirley LaFleur. The tune is Gypsy Woman, following the station break.
See that woman go knowing
I'm Dennis Owsley, and we finished the first hour of Jazz Unlimited's History of Jazz in St. Louis, Part 8, with J.D. Perrin's group doing Gypsy Woman. The vocalist was Joan Buiz, and the poet was Shirley LaFleur. Please stay tuned for the second hour of the Jazz History of St. Louis, Part 8, the 1990s. We're going to hear Herb Drury and Jerry Cherry, Steve Schenkel, Dan Rubright, Scott Alberici, Christine Hitt, and Asa Harris, among others, right after the station break.